Hi, I'm Chrissy.
And I'm Jess.
And this is
Financial Progress.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for watching our first episode. We got a lot of love and we're so grateful for that. So thank you very much for watching and for coming back.
Yes, we're so excited. It was our first time ever doing this. We had at one point, we wanted to start a podcast. We tempted and then we were like, oh, you know what? No, let's just do it on our own. But here we are. We should have just did it 4 years ago.
Yes, we should have been started this. But honestly, if we would have started it back then, I think it would have been a whole different vibe. So I'm glad we waited because I think we learned a lot about ourselves since then. And for sure. We just both changed our views on personal finance. And we also know the importance of, you say this all the time, live your life.
Actually, look, live life.
Yeah, live life. Yes, exactly. So we know that personal finance, there's times when you do need to cut back, but there's also times when you need to embrace where you're at in life and make choices to also have some fun. So there's a lot we learned in the past couple years. So if we would have started that podcast, I probably would not want to be listening to that right now.
You're so right, though, because our views have changed a lot since then, but it also shows progress.
Progress. That's why we named this Financial Progress. Today, we are going to talk about Jess's story, and she's going to share with us some things that she learned along the way and some challenges she overcame. She's grown so much in the personal finance area in the past couple years, and I couldn't be more proud of her, my bestie. So, you know, just seeing all the changes that she's made and all the growth that she's made over the years and all her accomplishments have just been amazing. And I'm excited to be on this journey with her because we both came from backgrounds of low income and where we didn't talk about money often. Mm-hmm. So just being able to talk about money is very empowering for both of us. So it's very exciting.
Just being open and honest about it.
Yes.
Transparency.
So Jess, do you want to talk a little bit about how did your debt start or when did you realize like, oh, wow, I'm in this debt and I need to figure out a plan? Like, what was that moment?
So honestly, like the moment of debt starting, I had like a little savings fund to get married. And we were in the process of, you know, planning for a wedding. And then I found out I was pregnant. And because I had hyperammoscaridarum, which is severe morning sickness, they like to call it, but it's like close to death. That's what they should really call it. losing all that weight and being stuck in bed. I couldn't work anymore. And then I also had to stop school. So I always get stuck at this point, right? Because after 23 weeks of being pregnant and dealing with everything I dealt with, I ended up in preterm labor, pregnant with twins, did 12 days of labor, gave birth to 2 1-pound boys. And then long story short, after 3 weeks, we lost one of our twins. And with losing one of our twins, you know, you don't think about needing an emergency fund for anything. And we had to make the decision if we wanted to donate our child or bury him. That's the only options that you kind of given because you don't really know that much, especially when I was only 23. So at that point, you know, we were like, okay, we're going to do a whole funeral service. And the only money we had available was our wedding fund. That was it. It was just like, okay, we want to make sure he has proper services. So we took our wedding money and we buried, you know, a child at the age of 23, just, you know, unexpectedly. Then from there, we were already in the process of buying a home. And then we still had, you know, a few more months to wedding day. And we're like, what are we going to do? So my fiance at the time was just like, well, I guess I'm going to have to take out a loan. So he took out a private loan. And then the private loan was the beginning of our debt journey. Like, yeah, like no other. So moving forward, we moved in together, found out we were pregnant again, scared to death. I had to stay as a stay-at-home mom because my, you know, one of my twins came home and he was a special needs child, and I had to make sure that he gets to appointments, and he had appointments at minimum 3 times a week. And then I was pregnant on top of that. So there was definitely no way that I can go to work. We didn't have family that could stay with kids or anything like that. It was just us on our own. And then I'm going to say that throughout the years, because I could be here forever if I talk about every detail, throughout the years, I still wanted to enjoy life with my little ones and making sure that they didn't go without. So, and since I wasn't working, I was like, what am I going to do? So we would just apply for credit cards, use the credit cards to do stuff, even plan trips. Eventually I'll like pick like odd and end jobs just so it could cover those things. And the debt kept piling up. It got to the point where I reached 12 credit cards. Yeah, a ridiculous amount. Ask me. So our debt, I'm going to say our debt without my student loans was over $50,000 at the time that we realized that we needed a change.
So yeah, it's a lot to take in. And I've heard your story before, but just hearing it again, it just makes my heart, it's just sad because, you know, you think the best when you're about to get married, you know, you think, all right, you're going to get married, you're going to have a house, you know, you think about all these things and you don't think about all of the bad things that could happen. And I know it's not good to focus on those things, but the unexpected things that happen that you just didn't plan on and how it can just derail your plans and cause you to go into debt. I know we discussed before about grief, and I know we're going to talk about that in detail in a later episode, but grief can also impact your money choices. It's very hard to figure out at the moment, the plan you have seems right, and you're like, we need to do this at this moment, and you need to live life because you realize with losing your son that life is short. Yeah.
I definitely think that's one of the choices where the credit cards came in, because it's just like, well, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, I lost a child after 23 days, and it wasn't that I never got to see him. You know, I walked into the hospital every day. He was our strong baby, and he was moving. I got to hold him, that video footage of him. For them to be like, this is your strong baby, and then in an instant he's gone, it's just like, wait, what? Like, who plans, you know, who plans for something like that? That's not something you plan for when you're pregnant. It's usually like when you're older and you're planning for like older relatives or things like that. So that's definitely, it was an eye opener. So I feel like when it came time, when I didn't want to postpone the wedding, because I was just like, in my head, it was just like, life is too short. My child only had 23 days, so I need to keep moving. Unfortunately, I didn't move with the correct steps, right? So even though I wanted to continue to celebrate the kid, my other kids' lives, I still was burdening us with debt. Or as a family, right? We just wanted to keep moving in that sense.
Yeah. So even with all of that going on and in the back of your mind, when did you decide to make choices to change? Mm-hmm.
It was a very slow progress, right? So when it was time, I started getting like a part-time job here and there, because, you know, we mentioned in the introduction, our expenses was exceeding our income, and the credit cards also helped with that in some circumstances. If we needed to pull, I guess, from like a line of credit, we did that. When we needed, if I had to pick up a quick job just to help at night, I'll do something like that. But, you know, it's exhausting, especially when you have a special needs child at home. I think I was at a point where I was working officially part-time for a few years, and it was just like, these credit cards are not moving. You know, in my mind, I was just like, minimum payment's good, we're good. But it wasn't good, because the interest rates were skyrocketed. They're like over 20%. So it's ridiculous. I mentioned in the last episode, we ran into Dave Ramsey in different ways, right? But it's all kind of similar, like church. But I didn't want to take the course yet, because I was just like, can I really afford it? what was it, like $100 at the time or something? But I couldn't afford it.
This seems so insurmountable. Like, yes, we could not spend $100 on this course. No. Like, we don't have that.
I didn't. No, not at all. Unless I charged it. Those were maxed out. Exactly.
And we weren't allowed to because he didn't accept credit cards on his website. So,
right. That's true. Did the cheaper option. I was like, I'm just going to purchase the book. And I purchased the book first.
I actually, yes. Now that you say that, yeah. I do remember I didn't jump into the course either because it was so, so insurmountable. Like, I was like, I can't afford this.
Yeah.
So I did do like a deep dive into his free content. You were doing videos. Yes. Remember? His free content. So everything like on YouTube, I was just binge watching his stuff.
Yeah. And we kind of like started at the same time because I remember you talking about videos and you would send me like his, when he goes out and do, I guess, like his intro. And then I was like reading the book. So I was like, it was just so funny how it just all came together and we started like months apart. So I read the book and I was like, I was kind of upset at the same time. I don't know if you get that feeling when you listen to something, and you're just like, why didn't I know this sooner?
Exactly. Yes.
Read the book, was just like, why the fuck didn't I know this already? Like,
right.
Why not? Why doesn't our community know this? Like, why don't they know this is the proper steps, right? Now, it's not like to say that anybody can do it because, you know, it depends on your circumstance, but it was just a mindset thing. It's just like, I need to make sure these are the steps that I'm following to make sure that we can do it. So after I read the book, I think then I registered for the course. I think it was almost income tax season. So I was like, you know what? Let's register. But I did start applying. So like, I think I did the budget before class started. And that was the beginning of our financial journey, our official financial journey, taking Financial Peace University.
Nice. So there's a lot of things taught in the program that sometimes it's kind of difficult, right? Like keeping track of every single dollar that you spend. Mm-hmm. So what methods have worked best for you in getting your personal finances organized and just staying on track with your financial plans?
Yeah, for sure. The first thing was looking at all of our bills, sitting down, actually doing a budget. I don't think I specifically like went into our bank account to be like, oh, we did spend money on this. We spend money on this. I just like opened up our budget. This is how much we should be spending on it. And then obviously, you know, the fixed expenses I put on there where it was a mortgage and things like that. So that was an eye opener because you're like, wait, I do have money left over. But where is it going? Mm-hmm. So I think that's like your first aha moment. It's just like, wait, there's money there. Now where do I put it? That being the first thing. And then like some steps that we took to start our journey was figuring out how can we get extra money. And then one of the things that we did was started selling a lot of things in the house that were like, well, I have a dining room and a kitchen. There's tables in both. Do I really need both? I was like, nah. I took a picture at that time. It was that website. Oh man, I forgot
Craigslist.
The name of it.
Craigslist.
It's like a green app. Man, I forgot the name of it. But it was before Marketplace.
Offer up.
Yes, that's it. And I started taking pictures of stuff, uploading it, pictures, and then I was couponing. I also was couponing more. And I started selling that stuff. And I remember our first 2 months, I already had $700. Wow. So for those of you who are not familiar with the Dave Ramsey system, his baby step one is to get your first $1,000 in an emergency fund. That's his starter emergency fund. So we were following his path and I was like, we're at 700. We're almost there. And then an incident happened with my car. It cost $400. And usually we would mope about it and be sad about it. And I remember my husband opening the door to the bedroom and he's just like, babe, the car's costing $400. And I looked at him and he looked at me and we just smiled. Legit. It was just like we smiled and it was just like we're covered because we had a little emergency fund. It wasn't a big one. But it was enough to cover my car. So we had $300 left, and then the following month was income tax came in, and we were able to put our $1,000 in there. And it's crazy to think about that $1,000 now, how hard, you know, how hard it was to get there. Mm-hmm. I can't see less than that in my emergency fund anymore.
Never.
Like, it's like, you know, and you get to that place where like, okay, $1,000 is no longer comfortable. We need more.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it just being so hard. We left that $1,000 in there and then started attacking debt. And that's baby step number two in the Dave Ramsey plan. We picked up a side hustle. We started like making shirts at that time and just started selling. And that was helping us pay off debt. We negotiated some of our bills to lower expenses, including Comcast. Because, you know, Comcast, yeah, we had already cut the cord, but we still needed to negotiate other stuff. I remember our Comcast bill used to be almost $300.
Wow.
And I was like, no. Now we just pay for internet and it's $80. So it's a big difference. We did cut some expenses and we decreased some expenses. So some expenses would be like my husband would always go to Wawa for coffee. And I was like, well, what kind of coffee do you like? Can we just buy it? Can we do it at home? Would it save money? And we just always check like what was the price difference and we could save money. So we did that. Now he doesn't ever buy coffee out unless it's like we really don't have any till this day. And that was 7 years ago to think about it. We started our journey in 2017. So it's a big difference. I had gave up getting my nails done as a sacrifice. I'm not going to get my nails done. What else? There's like so many other things, cutting out subscriptions and things like that.
Can you talk a little bit about how you planned for future expenses? Like, did you sink in funds or anything like that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So we learned that, you know, holidays are very expensive. And what we started doing was like, well, how much do we want to spend per kid? I can't remember the exact amount at that time, but if we said we wanted to do $500 each kid and then like a certain amount for other families, let's say the total is $3,000, we would divide that by 12, whatever that comes for per month, then we put it in our budget. And then every month we'll have that put away. So anytime I went to a store and I was like, oh, this is a good Christmas gift, I had that money in a sinking fund. So all I had to do is get it, put it away till Christmas. So we do that with everything, even our like kids' recreational activities and things like that, because that adds up. We still do it for like a pet fund. We don't do it as much as before. Like we had so many sinking funds, like so many. I probably had about 20.
Wow.
Now it's not that much. Mm-hmm. Maybe like 5. Vacation for sure. Holiday, yes, because holiday gets expensive. I used to have one for the kids' birthdays, but not so much anymore. So not as bad, but sinking funds were amazing, though. I must say, it helped so much. Car fund, when the car broke down. Like,
yeah. So can you just explain to our audience what a sinking fund is?
Yeah, sinking fund is kind of like a savings account for something in the future. So like I said, holiday fund. Normally, let's say I spend $3,000 on a holiday fund. Instead of like coming up with that $3,000 in December for Christmas, you start January, right after Christmas is over, and you start putting money into your savings account for the following year. It helps so much. It's like one of the best things that I never knew I should have done. Like, you know, sometimes you be like, oh, let me just put money in a vacation fund. But when you actually make a plan to do it and put a certain amount in there, it works so much better.
Yes. One of the things that was helpful for me when I first started was pulling the money out in cash and putting it in the envelopes, because
yes,
I was not organized with my money and mm-hmm. I didn't have a plan for any of it. Yeah. So pulling it out in cash, which I don't do anymore, but in the beginning it was so helpful to pull out my grocery budget mm-hmm. in cash and put it in an envelope and say, we're only using this envelope for groceries. Also, like, you know, having those envelopes where you're like, all right, I'm planning to save for new tires. So I'm going to keep saving every month, put in this tire fund envelope.
Yeah. We had a lot of envelopes.
Yes, a lot of envelopes. I don't have as many sinking funds as I used to.
Most of my sinking funds were cash. And I may have a couple that I left digitally because they were pulled out digitally. So I probably did a couple that way. And then even non-sinking funds, I had cash. But like you said, groceries. Groceries, technically, you just pull it, you know. We swipe, but instead use cash to make sure that you don't pass that amount that you budgeted for. Mm-hmm. So they're big helps. Big helps.
Definitely. So is there anything else that you want to add to that? Any lessons learned or any
I didn't tell them what I officially – how much I officially paid off or anything.
Oh, yes. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Within 4 years, I paid off $54,000 in debt and I was able to save $50,000 within the 4 years. How the fuck did I do that? I'm not even sure, but I did it.
Wow. That's amazing.
On a serious note, it was a lot of discipline. The only thing that came big out of that with transparency is that we did sell our house, but we didn't get too much out of it. I'm going to say maybe like 10,000 came from that. And that's the only thing that contributed to that 104,000. So it wasn't a big difference. A lot of it was side hustling. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was just keep selling things and very disciplined. We didn't travel. We gave up flights, like vacations that required flights because we know that was the most expensive. And we have a total of 5 kids. And so we knew that that was just like, okay, if you want to be serious about it, stop it.
Wait, 5 at kids.
I said 5 kids, family of 5. My bad. Wait,
where's these other kids?
Edit that out. Family of 5. It was like technically 4, but family of 5. I'm glad you caught that. But we still did road trips because we were like, we still need something. But if we're honest, Chrissy, though we needed the path that we were on to start a financial journey, Ramsey steps no longer work for us, right? If we're honest. It helped us. We needed it.
Yes.
But I did feel very deprived. And you kind of get into some circumstances where it can be depressing at the same time. But I was motivated by it. It got me to that part. I may not have followed him 100%, but I still got through and was able to pay all that debt and able to move and buy a new home. So that $50,000 was to save for a new home. It was for furniture. It was paying cash for car. And yeah, it got us through. So you mentioned biggest takeaways. And out of this whole financial journey that I've been through, this experience, the most important part for me to tell everyone is to make sure that you have an emergency fund. When I tell you, it's just like a breath of fresh air. It's a breath of fresh air. Like if I had an emergency fund and it would have covered my son's funeral expenses, my debt would have never started. If I had the knowledge that I have now, you know, again, emergency fund is very important. And a lot of things I will tell you is to make sure that just get rid of things that you don't need in the house, sell it. Marketplace is amazing. Amazing. You could find so many things. What you don't want is somebody else's treasure. Sell it, get that money. I would say do your budget. So I am very big on living life financially. And that means that do not deprive yourself of the things that you really want, but still give yourself a limit. So even if you want to get your nails done, maybe get it done less times than you normally do, so that you don't have to give it up completely, but you're still enjoying your life. I believe enjoying your life. If you are so used to taking 3 vacations a year, maybe just put it down to 1 or 2. Like, I don't feel like people should give up everything. And that's kind of one of my big mindsets that has changed, like through growth, because life is short. We've been through so much that we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So highly encouraged to sit down, look over your budget, tell yourself what's most important on there. And if you do have some wants, just limit the wants. You don't need everything, hair, nails, you know, trips. Let's just like limit some stuff so that you could get to your goals quicker. So my recommendation for an emergency fund is a 1 month emergency fund. I don't feel like $1,000 is enough anymore. So a 1 month emergency fund would look like how much your bills and expenses are for 1 month, and then you'll save up to that month. So sometimes it's like about $3,000, depending on the person, depending on your mortgage, depending on your rent. If that's too hard for you, then yes, start off with $500 and then try to increase it as you go. But once you get your emergency fund, then you focus on your debt from there.
And you only touch it for emergencies, not for like, you know, all right, I want to do this, so I'm going to go dip into my emergency fund. Should only be touched for emergencies.
Yes.
But yes, planning ahead is definitely something that's helped tremendously. And
100%.
Yeah, although we don't follow Dave Ramsey to the T, we are, you know, grateful for the knowledge that we learned along the way. And we just changed and made our own decisions about money, yes, which is just part of our development.
There were great takeaways, and you know, it got me started.
Yes. Thank you, Jess, for your time and for being open about sharing your story. I'm sure it has impacted some of our listeners, and you know, I'm sure they'll have questions. How can they reach us?
Yes, we have an Instagram, Financial Progress Podcast.
What?
Come join us.
Yes.
It's great. I know that I kind of like speed through the financial journey, but I'm sure that as time goes and more episodes come out, we're going to get more into detail. And if you have any questions, you can contact us.
Yes. And stay tuned for next week, because I'm going to be sharing a little bit of my story. It's not as sad as Jessica's story, but hopefully I can share some wisdom and insight from my journey. So thank you very much, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.